Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Liminal Lands entitled Sequoias. I don't have any new patrons to shout out this week, so we'll just get straight into the show. Enjoy! They aren't strings, are they? Are they instead strands of a web? I suppose you could look at it that way. I thought so. So, in that case, question two. She, her, whatever, she's like a spider? That would be an incredible oversimplification. So then she isn't a spider. Damn. I forget how simple you temps are, how limited your speech is, and by extension, your understanding. Let me see if I can put it in a way even your limited mind can comprehend. Please do. Let's try this. I want you to picture in your mind a plant.
Okay, done.
Now, describe it to me.
Okay, sure. It's a thing about yay big, stems, maybe some leaves, a flower maybe.
And that's what you think of when I say plant?
Yeah, that's the first image that pops into my head.
Very good. Now, replace that image in your head with the image of a giant sequoia tree. Technically, the term plant still describes it, but it's so much more than that. Calling her a spider is similar to calling a giant sequoia just a plant.
So what you're saying is she's a really, really big spider.
Yes, she is big, but you're missing the point a bit. You aren't understanding her, grasping the fullness of what she is. In the same way you lose the majesty of what a sequoia is by calling it a big plant, you lose the majesty of what she is by calling her a spider. She's so much more than that. She is the idea of spiders incarnate, the mother of all spiders, the essence of venom, the majesty of the ultimate predator given life. She is maddening hunger and unending patience living in the same body. Her webs can burn the skin and soul just the same. She is all that and more. Your language can barely scratch the surface of her.
Wow. So she's a really big, really, really scary spider then.
Will you stop calling her a spider?
Okay. Listen, Yugi, I'm sorry. This is just a lot for my little temp mind to wrap around. I'd just feel better if I could call her something, you know? It's hard to keep something beyond my fathoming in my head. Is there a name or something I can call her?
I've heard people refer to her as many things throughout the years. Ungoliant, Portia, Anansi, Shelob, Arachne, Aragog, Yet, Loth. The one that I think most closely matches her would be Atlak Naka. That asshole Cheshire just called her the Fiddleback Bitch, but I would prefer you not call her that.
Oh, does she have a fiddleback design on her or something?
No.
Oh, I don't get it then.
I'm not explaining it to you.
All right, then. I think I'll stick with Arachne, then. It's nice. It makes a certain sense to me. It's also less foreboding than just she or her. I think I can wrap my head around it a bit easier like that. So, Arachne, I'll call her that. So, Yugi, does Arachne have any... I don't know the best way to put this, but does she have any, like, weaknesses?
You mean, like, hit the giant enemy crab's weak point for massive damage?
Okay, yeah, it sounds a bit silly when you say it like that.
No. It's a good question. It really is.
It is?
Yes, it's just... the answer to that depends.
It does? On what?
Well, do you have the Sword of Truth?
The what?
Ooh, or the light arrows. You have any of those?
Okay, alright, I see what you're doing here.
Or a +1 mace. The bazooka upgrade? The golden gun?
Okay, alright, enough. I get your point.
Red shells. Surely you at least have some red shells.
Hello again, hypothetical future listeners. Welcome back. I've retreated to my safe spot for a moment, where I can sit in silence for a bit and at least breathe the same air as my family.
Yugi wouldn't stop with the stupid video game boss jokes. But now, sitting here thinking about it, I wonder. I really do. There are really only two answers to my question. I mean, obviously it's going to be way more nuanced, but once you cut away all the chaff, you can boil it down to two answers, either yes or no. I didn't get either. Of course, Yugi, by the rules of our agreement, could decline to answer. But declining to answer, well, that would be the same as saying yes, wouldn't it? I mean, like, if the answer is no, why wouldn't he just say that? It changes nothing for me if that's the case, right? And if it changes nothing for me, it doesn't affect his enjoyment potential. So there's no reason to not answer. But if the answer is yes, well, then he would refuse to answer because it might tip the scales in my favor. But by refusing to answer, he's still answering, and he would know that. So the only way to avoid giving an answer would be to give me a non-answer, which is what he did. By making fun of the question, he implies that the answer is no. But he isn't actually saying that, so he's not lying, because he isn't actually saying no. I could theoretically force an answer out of him, but I don't think that would be in my best interest. If I do that, it might make him less likely to answer any further questions I have. It would also let on that I saw through his little non-answer. So he wouldn't try doing it again. So I think my best bet is to just play along, isn't it? I mean, that way, he might try the same tactic again, if he thinks it worked, and inadvertently give me even more information. Of course, all that is predicated on me actually being right. I might be overthinking this. It is possible the answer really is no, and Yugi really does think the question is worthy of being mocked. I don't know, I don't think so. The way he talked about her earlier, almost like he was a little bit in awe of her, or in love. I feel like if there really weren't any weaknesses, he would have taken that opportunity to talk about how majestic she is. Really rub it in, you know? Anyways, it helps me to assume there's some weakness she has, something I can leverage. I mean, I kind of have an idea. And if my idea works out, then maybe I won't ever have to find out whether she has any weaknesses or not. Oh, mentioning the plan leads me into something else I wanted to talk to you about. Supplies. You ever hear that saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket, hypothetical future listeners? I'm sure you have. I've heard it my whole life. And yet, somehow, I did just that. The majority of the stuff I had, all of my gear, was in my backpack that got left behind when I fell down in here. I have a few baubles, odds and ends, tucked away in the pockets of this duster and in the pockets of my britches, but, you know, not much. Fishing line, hooks, sinkers, pocket knife, of course, the little mirrors, stuff like that. Of course, I have my Arkansas toothpick strapped to my belt. Oh, and one slightly worse for the wear emergency whistle. One of those things where, like, if you're lost in the woods, you're supposed to blow it really, really loudly and try and help people find you or something. I don't know. It came in one of those survival bundles with a bunch of crummy little things like fire starters. I don't even know how it made it from my bag to my pockets, but it's here too. I almost tossed it, but shit, who knows? If I ever make it back to the real world, maybe I can use it to signal people to come find me. Who knows? Two more things I do have. Paracord and lint, both of which are integral to my plan. I've got a 25-foot roll of paracord in my pocket, and then some more, quote, unquote, emergency paracord wrapped around the handle of my knife. Oh, and also as my shoelace for my boot, but if I have to use that, well, I'm in even worse trouble. Ah, but I'm glad I brought up boots. It hasn't actually come up with a while, so it won't surprise me if any of you hypothetical future listeners have forgotten this little fact. But I'm still walking around in old Big Bertha here. My walking cast, walking boot, orthopedic boot, whatever you want to call it. I haven't taken it off yet, but I mean, I feel like I could now. My leg, ankle, everything, it feels fine. Like, I don't need this anymore. And this thing makes quick movement not easy. You have to move in this weird-ass rocking gait to make any decent time at all. Common sense says to take it off, but see, there's a problem. This isn't just a stabilizer. It's the shoe itself, you know? My other boot is back with my backpack, wherever the hell that is now. So, yeah, I could move faster without Big Bertha here, but when I get out of here, I'd be completely without a shoe. Just my sock. And, I mean, there are small rocks and pebbles. Iggy does a good job keeping himself clean, but I mean, come on. We're still underground. My feet aren't as tough as they were when I was young, so I think the play is... I unstrap about half of these. It doesn't make it too loose. The other half are holding just fine. But if I screw up and suddenly find myself needing some extra speed, it's at least quicker to get rid of it. And that's most of it all out of the way. I need to ask Iggy a few more questions, but I kind of doubt his answers are going to have much effect on my plan, if any at all. All that's really left is to gather my courage, I guess. Man, that's a lot of friggin' courage to try and gather. I could use some whiskey right now, or maybe some coffee. I don't even know if it's day or night right now. I don't know how long I've been wandering around down here. It was becoming night when I first fell, so I'm tempted to say it's probably almost morning by now, maybe even mid-morning, but time seems to do its own thing here, so yeah, who knows. Mid-morning would be pretty ideal, though. If I manage to get close to an exit, light might help me find my way out. You know, I keep looking at this hole that I think is probably a chimney that opens onto my world. This thing actually gave me an idea that became part of my plan, but it's also reminded me of something my dad told me as a kid. We moved into my great-grandmother's house when I was 6 or 7, and on the property was an old hand-dug well. It fascinated me. I knew to stay a fair bit away from it. I mean, it was only covered with a small sheet of plywood. But it held a strange fascination in my mind. I asked my dad one day how deep it was. He didn't actually know, but he did remember something his dad, who had helped dig several wells, told him. He told him that most wells, you dug far enough down that there was no light able to reach you unless the sun was directly overhead. And he said, when you got down that deep, if your carbide lamp went out, you could actually look up and see stars in the daytime. I mean, Dad said he figured it was likely bullshit, but I always wanted to try it. Just thinking about going down in a well that deep terrifies me, though. It's a really weird feeling. I guess I can liken it a bit to the feeling right before getting on a roller coaster. Scared, excited, exhilarated, anxious, curious, and all kinds of other emotions all rolled up into one. Both wanting to do something and not do it at the same time. That's also how I feel about what I'm about to try and do. Find out if I can somehow escape a deadly monster using paracord, some lint, and my wits. I'm friggin' terrified. But you know, also, kind of exciting. Screw it. Let's do this.
I'm going away, but I won't come back on a lonesome railroad line. But I can't forget that sweet little girl who sleeps in the pines, in the pines.
Thanks for listening. You guys know my usual spiel. If you like this, please consider leaving a like or a review somewhere, or, you know, visit my Patreon page and see what kind of rewards you can get. A shout out, stickers, bonus material, quite a bit of bonus material. Until next time, beware of doorways.
Hey guys. This episode of The Liminal Lands is sponsored by Happy Hippo Herbals, and that's pretty exciting to me because I can honestly say without their products, The Liminal Lands wouldn't exist as a show. Right now, if you use my discount code, you can get 15% off your order. There's going to be a link you can click on in the show notes. And along with that link, there's also another link you can check out that's specifically about Happy Hippo Herbals themselves and why you should choose them over some of their competitors. It's pretty eye-opening stuff, guys, and you definitely need to check it out. Now, enjoy the show.